The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a stretch of level ground with a great crowd of his disciples and a large number of the people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon. And raising his eyes towards his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude and insult you and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven. For their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in this way." The Gospel of the Lord. My dear, dear family, the words of Jesus deserve our full attention and care. We cannot expect to understand them just reading them quickly and forgetting them, because we all have been indoctrinated by the world to think exactly the opposite. Isn't it the truth? The whole foundation of advertising and the media is to make us believe that the richer you are, the better. The more you laugh, the more you're satisfied with things, with consumption, the more successful you are, the better off you are. And Jesus looks at his disciples and tells them exactly the opposite. Do you think we're going to be able to assimilate this, just hearing it and passing it by? It deserves our concern, our time, our humble desire to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. I pray and I hope that all of us are in that process. The worst thing that can happen is that any of us may dare to think, "I'm there already." You know, I'm there. I got it all together. Jesus cannot deal with people like that. We all need to be disciples. And disciples are always attentive to the master, understanding that they are under construction, that their lives need to be transformed by him. That's why he came. You know, many people think that Jesus came to the world to affirm us as we were. As if to say, you guys are doing great. You know, you're wonderful. Everybody's doing so well, I just came from heaven to tell you this. No way. He came because all of us were lost. And all of us were under the bondage and the confusion of the evil one. And he came to bring us back home. Remember the story of the prodigal son? Jesus wants us to know that we are all him. We all need to receive the grace of the Holy Spirit to understand that we thought that life was all about spending the gifts of God, squandering them, but we need to come to realize that this is not true, that God created us for himself. And so to understand the gospel today, it's necessary, as always, to look broader in the scriptures and try to put them together, because always we see that the Word of God illuminates the Word of God. In other words, if you read a passage and you stay there, you may be led to confusion. But if you read the passage and you keep on reading what's before, what's after, other parts of the Bible, and you bring them all together, you get a better picture. You see that? So we see today in the first reading that Jeremiah says, "Cursed is the man who trusts in human beings. Blessed the man who trusts in the Lord." Now, watch the pattern. Cursed if you trust in human beings. Blessed if you trust in the Lord. Now, the responsorial psalm told us, "Happy are those who do not follow the counsel of the wicked, nor go the way of sinners, or sit in the company of scoffers. Rather, the law of the Lord is their joy." You see the pattern? If you follow the ways of the world, where everybody's going, what everybody says is okay, you're in trouble. But if you trust in the Lord, you are on the right path. You see, it's in both readings. Now the Lord tells us, "Blessed are the poor, those who are hungry, those who are weeping, those who are persecuted." And he says, "But woe to you who are rich, who are satisfied, who everybody applauds." What is the Lord saying about being rich and poor? He's completely changing its meaning as we understand it. You see, the Lord is showing us those we think are poor, they are the ones who are really rich because they have the kingdom of God. So how do we get to be in the kingdom of God? By being poor. What does it mean to be poor? To realize that on your own, you and I are nothing. That we are totally dependent on the Lord. That's to be poor. On my own, I have no wealth, no riches, no ability to do anything good on my own. But when I am in Christ, I can do all good things. So I depend on him. And because I depend on him, I live abiding in him, attentive to him, rejecting the counsels of the world to follow the counsels of the Lord. And this is a full-time attitude. The way I think, the way I act, the way I talk comes from my dependency on the Lord, because I know that on my own, I would do no good. But with God, I can do all things. That is the true understanding of being poor. It has nothing to do with how much money you have in the bank. You could be a person who has a lot of money in the bank and you do not depend on your money. And in fact, you understand that you are simply an administrator of what God has given you. And you know you have a responsibility to do it good, to do it with love, with generosity. And you can be poor in spirit because you're not attached to things. So the Lord is telling us, change your dependency. Instead of depending on the world and things and money, depend on me. And be hungry for my word. And desire me as your true treasure. So that if the stock market goes bad on you and you lose everything, whatever, you don't lose your riches. Because your riches are in me. Now, to understand this even further, we can go to the same chapter, in fact, chapter 6 in the Gospel of Luke, and we see what was happening to Jesus himself, because he is the perfect model. How is Jesus poor in the Spirit? We see in the same chapter, just a few verses before the Gospel of today, the scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely to see if he would cure on the Sabbath so that they might discover a reason to accuse him. You see, the Pharisees are watching him. What is he going to do next? You think they cared about the Sabbath? No, they wanted to have reasons to accuse him. Was Jesus concerned about that? Was Jesus going to change his way? I better not do it because I'm going to get in trouble with the Pharisees. They're going to get upset at me. Then I'm going to lose my reputation because they're very influential in the community. No. Jesus was free to do his Father's will. And in this, he was willing to stake his life. And he was willing to suffer and die. And so he cured the man with the withered hand. And what happens? They became enraged and discussed together what they might do to Jesus. Anger, fury, rage came upon the Lord because he did the right thing. And these people then were so intent on killing him. And eventually they succeeded, didn't they? They did crucify him. But that was not the end of the story, right? On the third day, he rose again. And so we have all a natural tendency to try to avoid these troubles, don't we? I don't want to get in trouble with the people that are influential. I might be outside the group. I might be rejected, unwanted. Who wants to be there? By nature, we don't. That's not our natural disposition. Something greater has to happen to us to be able to accept this gospel. And this something greater, it's only Jesus Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit, coming upon us, giving us the grace to have this kind of courage and commitment to the truth, no matter what happens. To possess the kingdom of God, to be satisfied in Christ, to rejoice and be glad even when you are persecuted. This is a powerful, profound grace that God wants to give to each one of us. When was the last time you were jumping for joy because somebody was calumnying you or criticizing you or mocking you or saying things about you? Do you remember? Ever really being happy about it? That's what the Lord is saying. When it happens, remember and say, wow, the gospel is being fulfilled. Praise be the Lord that I'm worthy of this tremendous grace, that I can grow more in Him. How the Lord